Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host,
Marcia Stone,
is here with me today, and we are so excited to bring you another conversation that is about wellness, inspiration, and support. We really pride ourselves on giving our audience stories of inspiration and having on guests that have rewired their lives and help to rewire others. And we are excited for our guest Quincy Carter to be here today with us. He's a multi-sport athlete, former NFL quarterback, and a baseball player. He's now the trainer and owner of Quincy Carter QB School, a standout quarterback starting at the age of 9. He was an exceptional baseball player at 7. He's played for various all-star teams, and he's professionally played for the Dallas Cowboys, New York Jets, Chicago Cubs, and arena teams. Quincy has an amazing story, which I want him to share in his own words. But now he's also helping people with, I think, addiction and recovery. And, you know, Quincy, welcome to the show. Let's have you share with us what's going on in your life. We're happy you're here with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, too. Basically, to be honest with you, I'm kind of put it in a nutshell. I came to BRC, Marcia Stone's rehab here back in July of 2019. And you talking about a desperate 41-year-old soul, lost. Marcia actually, I was picked up out in West Coast, Texas. Rich Whitman picked me up, and I was a desperate soul. And, I had attempted, rehab, about 9 or 10 times. And, and it was a few 30-day fixer uppers, maybe a 45-day stay in there somewhere. I never really wanted to do any work. And that's when I got out of rehab to, get a sponsor, work the steps, go to meetings, start sponsoring other people. So, when you don't do no work, you don't get any results. I started smoking weed. Yeah, I started smoking weed early at the age around 15, 16, and had a little beer stint in there, too. And that, one time was just me and the boys out in the parking lot at an elementary school one day, late night, Friday or Saturday or whatever. That one, little think we're having fun event, turned into a lifetime of a turmoil and pain and misery. I eventually graduated. the cocaine and ecstasy. I had a little Adderall run in there too. This thing just really started to take off on me. I end up losing my career. I end up losing my job, eventually my career, but I lost my job with the Dallas Cowboys for failing a drug test back in 2004. And that's when really things started to unravel. I don't know how I made it through the season in 04 when I got picked up by the New York Jets by the grace of God. But I was ducking and dodging drug tests. Eventually missed the last game of the postseason against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs because I was trying to dodge the drug man. Piss test guy. After that season, really things started to spiral out of control. Then I started my getting arrested career, and that started around 2006 was my first charge, and then that was a weed charge, and then a couple more weed charges, then the DUIs. Unfortunately, what really pains me is, a domestic dispute in there. That went on, 2006 and up until 2019, the back and forth, In and out of rehab, yes. Getting arrested. I even had a 2-month jail stint in there in 2014 from just a collective of arrest and probation violations. But that didn't stop me. Heck, I got out of there and went on another couple year or two run and then try to run into rehab to fix my life up. So it just went on and on and on like this for years, the better half of 14 years until, man, I came to BRC desperate. And man, I surrendered to God. I surrendered to the program. You know, I really had some fear going into it. Well, a lot of fear, of course, but really my fear.
Of course.
Yeah. But my fear with my relationship with God, because, you know, God had fixed my life up so many times. And then I started feeling good. And then I snatched my will back. And then I lose all control again when he wasn't in the driver's seat. So, you know, I've just made it a conscious decision to let God have his will. Of course, you know, we try to yank it back and forth. But, you know, his will is always going to win. So I'm living my best life right now. I can honestly say that. I'm heavy into, you know, helping other people's lives. But, of course, making sure my spirit is right to help their lives. I've got the dream job right now that, I'm actually working at BRC right now, being an alumni coordinator, helping people, running our alumni meetings, catching up with our alumni, making as many as events as we can right now because of COVID. And so, you know, I understand our program, just like waking up in the morning and riding a bike because, you know, I know what it's about. And I'm just letting God lead me. I'm, you know, out here on this football field, tutoring, mentoring kids, giving them not only football skills, but life skills too. So
Quincy, I'm telling you what, I'm exhausted just listening to what all you've been doing for the last 10 years. I mean, my gosh, I just wanted to interrupt you because I want to ask you one question that's really been on my mind lately. Because obviously I know Quincy, I know you personally, obviously, just so all of our readers know, just like you alluded to. But one of the things that I've always noticed about you is just how focused you are and how just, you know, laser beam focused on whatever is the task in front of you. And I'm just curious, you know, you said you started that your quarterback arm was kind of noticed when you were 9 years old. Was that drivenness and that work ethic and that, you know, mentality, was that always a part of you growing up?
Yes. I can say yes to that because, you know, me and my mom, we she tells me stories of me as a kid and how important it was for me to be on practice, how important, you know, games were, you know, and then being a quarterback, honestly, you have to know your position, but on offense, you got to know who everybody else is blocking, what route they're running, you know, the snap count, everybody breaking the huddle right, everybody, you know, firing off the ball on the sound that you've called or on the cadence that you've called. So innate abilities has been in me a long time. And honestly, you know, BRC reinforced that, though. And then that internal clock just kicked back on, and I've been off and running since.
We're so interested in everything you have going on, Quincy. But do you think that that's common with professional athletes, that laser beam focus, that drivenness that you're describing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when that's taken away, you know, honestly, of our everyday regimen, you know, man, it's a big loss for us. It's a challenge for us, a lot of us, you know, especially football players too, when we get into head injuries and all that kind of things. But it's a challenge for us to fulfill those things that we've been so used to doing for so many years.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. Yeah. So Quincy, we're just, you know, a lot of our listeners and, you know, people that Marcia and I both work with and who are focused on their health or recovery or just in general bettering their lives, you know, and interested in wellness. You know, you talk about spirituality and God and those things, which is, you know, everybody has their own belief system. But just curious, like if you, you know, could say one thing that really helped you that you do, like, is there a routine? Is there non-negotiables? Is there no more self-betrayal? Like, what do you say to yourself? I mean, I know you look to a higher power other than yourself, but, you know, for people out there that maybe haven't found that yet or are on a different path, you know, what do you personally do day to day that helps keep you sober, helps keep you on a healthy path that you can share with our audience?
Well, the first thing I do is I pray. You know, my higher power is God. I've seen it at a young age, the Spirit of God, things that have happened in my life, my prayers, you know, that have been answered miraculously. So I've been able to experience God firsthand. And so so that process step three of letting God, you know, have his way and have your will, wasn't hard for me. But anyway, so I get up, I pray, I read the third, the seventh, and the 11th step prayer over in the 12 and 12, the St. Francis prayer. I got a one a day, our one a day AA reading that we read. And then, you know, I do read NA's one a day reading too. I either meditate, or I listen to a sermon in the morning. But I've got a study Bible now, the MacArthur Bible, that has daily reads on that too. And so I just continuously, you know, feel my spirit in the morning. So, you know, it's basically you putting up a defense for anything that's going to happen in the throughout the day. Your spirit is prepared for it. So I just try. And then some mornings, you know, I can't read all of that. And so I'll just read half or something. Just go to the third or seventh and just read one of the one a days. And AA, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on that right now, the proper name for that. But anyway, so
you have a routine.
So you can't read it all.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a routine about just, you know, I think for you putting yourself on a good path mentally, it sounds like, and emotionally and spiritually, just getting yourself, you know, in the right mind frame, it sounds like. And then, you know, because I just feel like as for me, Quincy, I have a private practice where I have clients that are in recovery as we speak, you know, and they're trying to stay on the path. And I think it's just, you know, I always say it's helpful to get, you know, into routine or at least have the same practice, a practice of any kind. It doesn't matter if it, whatever serves you. So if it's a practice of reading, you know, literature, if it's a practice of meditation, if it's a practice of exercising, if it's a practice of, you know, reflecting on gratitude, it doesn't matter really. It's what's best for you, but it is creating that, consciously creating a practice. You know, I think that is helpful.
Yeah.
Marcia,
I think it's very vital. Yeah. How you start your morning.
Yeah.
It sets the tone for the rest of the day. Absolutely.
And Quincy, you know, one of the things that was just occurring to me while you were talking is there's so many similarities and correlations with, you know, spiritual fitness and the discipline that in the, you know, routine that we're talking about with physical fitness. So, you know, through your athletic career and just, you know, the amazing.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I wish I would have made more time for
right.
For things like that and get my spirit right life. Right in the mornings instead of jumping out of bed, brush your teeth and hurry up and running over there to the complex and working out first and then trying to squeeze God in when you could instead of having them at the forefront in the mornings every morning. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just funny how you can redirect energy like this. You could redirect it towards being a good drug addict. You could redirect it being a good alcoholic. You could, you know, like just the discipline, the you know, or you could, or I mean, I always say that to people.
Active addiction is like a full-time job.
It is.
You know?
It is. But You know, but it really, you know, for people, I think that do thrive off of routine and do really well with it. Like, why not create a positive routine? You know, something that adds value to your life, that adds, you know, obviously health and all these other things that come with it. So it's just something that
exactly
is important to talk about. Yeah.
Quincy, I was thinking earlier about some of the struggles that you described that you had when you were in treatment. And I specifically remember talking, you know, in your story about the Dallas Cowboys and the resentment when you, you know, were let go from the team. And, you know, so when we talk about transitioning from being a professional athlete to just a normal person, even if, you know, it's retirement or you choose it, it seems like it would be a big transition and adjustment. But when it's not your desire, it's not your decision, and you're kind of cut from, right? Yeah. I just wondered, like, how did that affect you?
It affected me majorly. I never would have thought for one second that my career would abruptly end like that in the manner that it did. And it was so shocking for me. I never forget when I got cut that day. You know, I literally went to a hotel and was just in a hotel sitting for about 2 or 3 days and did not move. So that's the kind of shock I was in. And eventually I went to Houston a little bit later. But I harbored that anger and that resentment for years. And then when you add on top, you know, me and my mom going through some things, me having kids. And so I continued to hold on to that, you know, and so by the time 2019 gets here and I'm in, you know, treatment, I'm actually for the first time, you know, literally after all those times I went to rehab, for the first time, really doing some hard work and really looking at myself and really seeing that, man, like, I caused 99.9% of this pain, and that was painful in itself.
That's so hard.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely. And then to see it on paper, you know, to really go through, you know, the routine of what we go through at BRC in accountability, you know, being accountable, making, I mean, so many changes in your life on a daily basis, you know, some of that anger started to come out. But then that's when my relationship with God, you know, in some aspects, you know, because there was a few things that me and God was getting together and getting closer on. But that was one of them. And given, it's a few things.
I love it.
But that was a big one. My anger, and really, man, when I got down to the root of it, man, I was angry with myself. So I had to forgive myself because I worked my tail off, you know, my dreams and my aspirations of being an NFL player, and then shoot, I go and blow it, you know, on drugs and alcohol. So you know, that process was painful. It was painful, but I had to get through it to feel what I feel today, to have this peace, to go share it and live this life right here. I had to get through that pain. There's no escape from it.
And Quincy, do you feel like now when you the coulda, woulda, shouldas, you know, what I could have done, should have done, but do you see it clearly now as, you know, you had to go through it in order to share it? You had to be able to relate to it to, you know, to be where you're at today? I mean, do you see a purpose in all of it now?
Oh, absolutely. I see the purpose.
Just for people out there now, mm-hmm. just for people, I'm just saying this, why I'm asking this too, is just because for people out there now that are in a place where they're in resentment or they're stuck in their anger, or they, you know, they keep hitting the wall, they can't see why things are happening, or mm-hmm. they're just, you know, it's just to give people hope that, you know, when you do honor yourself and you do you know, raise your vibration on many ways.
The hard work.
The hard work, it will make sense. So I'm just want to give people hope on that. Yeah.
Yes, it's going to make sense. But there's no escaping going through, getting over to the other side without going through the process. And for me, it was easy, you know, and when I say easy, choosing my higher power, God. But if it's not God, it's got to be something. And honestly, you know, I heard this in our rehab. Tim May said this at BRC, and he was talking about people who don't believe in God, don't have a higher power. You know, we'll live by the spiritual principles, but you have to have some spiritual experience, all right? And you have to get through this hard work. And really, when I say that hard work, that's, you know, that that inevitable step forward, you know, really getting everything out on the table, your fears, your resentments. But you got to get through this hard work. And once you get through this hard work, your higher power will just prevail. You will give you the love, will give you the strength, you know, give you the wisdom to carry on. Does those pains forever, you know, go away? Do you think about it? Heck yeah. But, you know, your spirit life takes care of that. Your higher power takes care of that. And I'm a product of it. You know, it ain't just make-believe what I'm speaking, man. Heck, you know, I've been able to, you know, go through the hard pain and feel God's love and be able to forgive myself and put things behind me and go on with my life.
Amazing.
Man, it's a beautiful thing.
That's beautiful. I'm so, you know, happy for you and grateful for the fact that you're now helping others. And it's so important. And I think that I just wanted to ask too, really quick, just, you know, giving back and helping others through this, how much, you know, how fulfilling is that for you? I mean, do you feel like that is something that is helpful in your everyday process?
Oh, it is. It is. You know, I was able, one, you know, to have a lifetime dream of coaching. You know, I was in no position spiritually, you know, to be coaching before, you know, I, you know, wholeheartedly surrendered to this program and to God. And so so I've always wanted to coach, but I didn't want to start so early with my career ending. So it's such a blessing. It's funny how I got into treatment, but God has a funny way of directing you, and his will is going to win. So it's like a win-win to me. I said it a little while ago to somebody. I said, sometimes it feels like, well, not even sometimes, a lot of times it feels like I'm not even working. You know, and that's what doing these camps with these kids over at BRC, you know, doing our alumni stuff, it doesn't even feel like I'm working. And so, but my job is to keep my spirit right so I can feed into these kids' lives and, you know, feed into our alumni and continue growing spiritually and not just staying stuck. And what our book says, you know, stuck on our laurels. I know I'm not saying that right. I always butcher the book, but you know what I'm saying. but yeah, it's such a blessing. It really is.
I love the redemption story. So good.
Hey, and Marcia told me, listen, I wanted to hang on in sober living because it was a safe place for me. And Marcia said, hey, listen, you've learned everything you need to learn. It's time for you to fly. I'll never forget that conversation. Mm-hmm. And hey, look, you know, but you got to have people in your life that love you, that's going to guide you. And then you got to trust. Right. Yeah, you got to trust the people that's in your life. And I can trust you. And when she said it's time to fly, I said, well, I guess it's finally time to put these big boy shoes on and let's go. Let's do it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
That's another good point. I mean, connecting with Marsha and just in and having community, I think, is really important for a lot of people that are struggling. It's hard. It's hard these days, especially with COVID and all the, you know, this the way our world has been for the past couple years. I have clients that are just so lonely and isolated, you know. So, I mean, I just think it's great that, you know, they're you're building communities after, like this. I mean, even if you're not part of a treatment center or a community like that, there's so many meetings, there's online meetings, there's, you know, community centers and meetings. I mean, I just learned about a YMCA around the corner that has like 100 classes I didn't even know about. There's,
wow.
You know, there's just people, you know, you just have to get out there and connect with like-minded people. I think that's really important. You know, if you're coming out of an addiction or in a bad place, you know, you maybe don't have healthy people to be around. And that's, you know, that's also part of the problem. You got to, you know, make new relationships, you know, create new relationships, make new friends, and find people that are like-minded, that value the same things. I was talking about our values and spirituality and how that's connected yesterday. But I think that's important, too. If you find people that value honesty or, you know, spirituality or health in general, that then you'll probably find a connection, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's totally funny, you know, I was thinking the other day, just with all the similarities, you know, of the different stories. And, you know, one of the things Quincy just said was he would have never imagined that his life and his career would be, you know, changed at the blink of an eye. And, you know, I've talked to so many people that were, you know, in active addiction, were just so delusional about, you know, what was happening in their life and what might happen, meaning like consequences and stuff like that. And so, you know, if you can look back and really understand, you know, A led to B, B led to C, and this is why I've had that experience, and this is why, even though it was the biggest shock of my life, it's become the very best thing, you know? I sometimes talk about, you know, the day that I stopped drinking felt horrendous. I was sick, I was scared, I was lonely, I was all those things that you just said. And, you know, just because I wasn't feeling good, I was doing good. And so, you know, when you look back on that, it really helps, you know, to sort of reconcile the thoughts and feelings versus the truth. And I think, you know, when you're talking to other people about it, people that have had that type of connection or experience, it's just like an instant, you know, an instant entree into a real relationship. And that is, you know, that's kind of what we're doing here in this life thing. And somehow or another, we get, you know, distracted. But to get back on the beam, back centered, and really realize that, you know, the most important thing in any of our lives is the relationships that we have with other people. And being able to stand up and be present for those is, you know, is for me at least the gift of recovery from anything,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's the relationship with yourself, which is, you know, also the important foundation, the self-love, you know, that's that too. I think, Quincy, what you're talking about, forgiving yourself and going through the work, is a lot of it sounds like it was building self-love back, you know. And I think when we go through such dark periods, and, you know, I've gone through my own dark period in life, you know, and coming out from that, we don't have a lot of self-love. We don't really have a lot of pride at that moment in time. Right. And we really
shame.
Have to.
It's all shame.
It's all shame. Yeah. So you have to build that again. And the only way to really gain self-love is through positive self-regard, through doing things that you're proud of, doing things that help move your health along, doing things that you feel like you're honoring yourself, that you're standing by your values. Like, all that builds self-love day to day, day to day, day to day. So I tell people, just keep going on it, like every day, you know, and then you'll start to feel little by little that you start liking yourself, you start loving yourself, you start, you know, talking yourself through things, you start, you know, again, and then there, boom, all of a sudden you're an aware person, you know.
Yep. And that's what happened. That's actually what happened for me at BRC, and our daily routine of meditation, our daily routine of, you know, getting up in the morning, work ethic, you know, making your bed. I mean, just like you just said, you do it over and over and over, and then it just literally becomes routine. How we read in the morning, how we pray in the mornings, you know, and then when you miss a day, so you're like, whoa, wait a minute, why am I feeling off? Like, you feel it instantly. You know, you don't go to a meeting for a week and a half. You feel that. So that's been that routine has been, you know, embedded in me. And then when you add on, you know, because most of us who addicts or, you know, have some issues, most of us has had success in our lives. It's just somewhere we've lost it. And like Marcia just said, we got off the beam. So, you know, it's a matter of doing the little things over again and forcing yourself to, because you got it in you. You know, now, you know, it's getting the help and then allowing just your higher power, God for me, of course, and just letting it take over your life and just freeing yourself up. But yeah, you hit it right on the nose, Erica. It's about that self-love and loving yourself, because if you can't love yourself, then sure, you can't love anybody else. So it's got to start with you first. Absolutely.
I saw a quote the other day. It was like on social media or something, but just to sum this all up, it said, recovery, the definition of recovery is giving up one thing to gain everything. And I really like that.
Oh,
that's really,
I love that.
Isn't that good?
I love that.
So good.
That's so good. I got to write that down.
I know. Marcia. I have to write it down too. I forget little things like that along the way. Well, Quincy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Quincy.
We're so grateful that you are here.
Thank y'all for having me. Felt like I was talking to two best friends.
Oh. Where can our listeners find you? Are you on social media, Facebook, Instagram? Where can our listeners follow up with you?
Yeah, on Twitter is I'm at Quincy L. Carter, and all my social media handles are on my website, QuincyCarter17.com. So you'll find everyone on my website. Yep, QuincyCarter17.com.
I didn't know you had a website. I'm going to go check that out.
There you go. Now you know, Marcia. I'm going to go on there. Yeah. That's cool. Quincy, thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank y'all for having me. Heck yeah.
So, Quincy, we always ask our guests what we call the deep dive question. Are you ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
Quincy Carter, what is your superpower?
What is my superpower?
Yes.
First answer that comes to mind.
My drive.
That's good. So on point.
Yeah, my drive.
Perfect.
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of our conversation with Quincy Carter, former NFL player, former MBA, right? The baseball. You played professional baseball too,
yes, ma'am.
Right?
Okay. MLB.
MLB. Sorry. I couldn't think of the right acronym.
Minor leagues, anyway. But go ahead.
NFL, MLB, just an all-around fantastic guy who has managed to rewire his life and, you know, join in with this thing called living. And so we're really, really just so happy to have listened to your, like I said, redemption story, Quincy.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. And until next week, this is Marcia Stone.
And this is Erica Spiegelman. Be well.